Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Nations That Rise and Fall. Nations That Rise and Fall. And so, saints of God, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36, and we're going to read verses 15 through 16. And before we start, let me just go over the introduction of this message. You see, in the Old Testament, there were many instances of prophets being killed, often in situations where their messages challenged the status quo or the ruling powers. And so many of them were afraid to come to tell the king what thus saith the Lord in truth. And the ones that did, they were either thrown in oil, beheaded, sawed in half, imprisoned. And so let's look at this. Examples include Jezebel killing prophets of the Lord and King Manasseh, allegedly sawing Isaiah in half. Jerusalem, despite being the chosen city of God, is described as a place that has killed prophets and stoned messengers. Some people don't want to hear truth. That's why they go to seeker-friendly churches. They go hide out. Don't talk about my sin. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. In our modern day, it was a shock, but legal and cultural moment for the country. The Supreme Court ruled that same-sex couples in the United States, no matter where they live, have the same legal right to marry as traditional male and female sex couples. What? The Supreme Court acknowledged the executive order by President Obama that gave way to the verdict by the Supreme Court on June 26, 2015 to make it a law. It's still intact today, and it's still an abomination to God. Can I get an amen? It's still an abomination. I don't care how you want to spin it. I don't care how you want to think about it. It's an abomination to God. I've had some congregants walk out. Yeah. I had some congregants in the past confront me. When we were at Temple Beth Shalom, a police officer and his wife came faithfully. And then I hit on an area that kind of like stepped on their toes because they had family members that were homosexuals. So he came and jammed me up in my grill. And I said, I'm just giving you truth. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I go, I'm just a messenger. I go, I didn't write the Bible. You either believe it or you don't. And I thought he was going to throw a blow. I thought he was just going to tag me. And I just stood there. I'm sorry. There's nothing for me to defend but God's word. And they never came back. And that's okay. But you know what? I will stand before God. And God will say, you did what I asked you to do. And speak truth. And so many of the rebellious kings were the cause of their nation's collapse. So are we there at 2 Chronicles 36? Let's look at this. And the Lord God of the fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Look at verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Did you catch that? It took a while, but then the wrath of God arose and there was no more remedy for the nation. They went into captivity. God allowed the Babylonians to overtake Israel, and for 70 years they were in captivity. Why? Because of their sin before God. Look what also I found in Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25, 3 through 6. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath, a solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. And you shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Look at verse 5. What grows of its own accord of your harvest, you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is a year of the rest of the land, and the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you. For you, your male and female servants, your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with it. They were told on the seventh year to rest from the land, and they disobeyed God. And every seventh year they wouldn't rest. So they went into captivity 70 years. Because God added it up to their disobedience. And many of them were crying uncle in the prisons of the Babylonians. My. So let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at the rise and fall of a nation. Number one, let's look at the rise of a nation. How God rises up a nation to be strong and to be fortified and to be blessed. And the outline, the blueprint, is found in Deuteronomy 28. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 28, 1-14. Look at this. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Did you catch that? Diligently obey the voice. Look at that. Of your God. To observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above the nations of the earth. How many wants to be set up like that? Huh? Look at that. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. That's the key. Look at verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. In other words, everything will be blessed in your life. Look at number 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies, look at this, who rise against you, to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Wow. That's a blessed nation. Huh? That's a blessed people. Look at this. Verse 8. The Lord will command the blessings on you in storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Look at verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Did you catch that? By keeping the commandments and walking in his ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be what? Afraid of you. Look at verse 11. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to what? Give you. Look at verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. This is a blessed and wealthy nation. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are what? Careful to observe them. Look at verse 14. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to want? To serve them. So we just read a blueprint. How it's outlined. How God said, if you do such things, I will bless your nation. And I'll cause you to rise above all the nations of the world. But unfortunately, there's also a fall of a nation. Why would a nation fall? What would cause destruction to come to that nation? Well, you find it in the same chapter of Deuteronomy 28, starting with verse 15. Look at this. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And those curses are the curses that came on Pharaoh. Remember the curses? Yes. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Look at this, verse 17. Cursed shall you your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. We just read the blessings, being blessed coming in, coming out. But this is a nation on its way down, heading toward destruction, which brings us to our third principle, the destruction of a nation. Let me just say this. Say this with me. God is long-suffering. He is so patient with people. He is. He's long-suffering. He's patient. We're going to continue in Deuteronomy 28. This is what happens to a nation now that totally gives himself over to the flesh, to sin, that rebel against governments, rebels against parents, rebels against what God has said was good and holy. Starting with verse 47, look at this. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Wow. Why did God put this in the Word? For our understanding. That there's something that we need to take heed to. Look at verse 49. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, and nations whose language you will not understand. Wow. That's like bringing China here, or Russia here. Someone that we don't understand. We don't understand their dialect. And they will come like eagles fly, meaning they'll come in their jets. Look at this. A nation of fierce continents, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. Meaning they're going to wipe out everything they see. Wow. Could this really be so? Let's keep reading. Verse 51. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you any grain nor new wine or oil, the increase of your cattle or the offsprings of your flocks until they have destroyed you. Our nation is very wealthy. And I don't think we've seen this nation begging for food but back in the 1920s when they had the Depression. That's the only time in record that the nation was in soup lines. Could that happen again? Could that happen again? Look at verse 52. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you at all your gates throughout all your land, which to the Lord your God has what? Given you. You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and the desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. The sensitive and very refined man among you will be hostile toward his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the rest of his children, whom he leaves behind. Wow. Look at that. Notice there's a whole lot more that God says about a fall, and it's very simple about a rise of a nation. Look at this in verse 55. So that he will not give any of the flesh of his own children, whom he will eat. This is a nation that's starving, that's now eating their children for food. Because he has nothing left in siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. The tender and delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicacies and sensitivity will refuse to the husband of her bosom and to her son and her daughter. See, everything's going to go haywire with this nation. Her placenta, which comes out from between her feet and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for the lack of everything in siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. This is hideous to this nation that has found its place like this. It's a total besiege. Look at this. If you do not carefully observe, verse 58, all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. The Lord your God. Look at this. Then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues and great prolonged plagues and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Man, this is great punishment to a nation that has strayed away from God. Look at this. Verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you are as the stars of heaven in the multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from the land which you go to possess. Wow. I know this is a hard thing to read, that what God wrote down. Moses wrote this down because God told him, write this down for an everlasting ordinance. Look at this in verse 64. Then the Lord will scatter you among the peoples from one end of the other, and there shall observe other gods. This happened. This happened to Israel. They just came back to the land. Remember last week? In 1948, they were scattered for over 2,000 years. Well, this is what God did to Israel. If he could do it to Israel, what about us, the church? Because he loves them just as much as he loves us. Can I get amen? Amen. My. Look at this. And there you shall serve other gods, which neither your nor fathers have known, wood and stone. Nebuchadnezzar. They rose up Nebuchadnezzar. And remember, they told him to worship him. And there were three Hebrew boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, uh-uh. And so the king had no other choice but to throw them in the fiery furnace. And they threw the three boys in. And when the king looked in, there was a fourth man in there. And who was in there? Jesus! Woo! Jesus was in there. Right in their captivity, they said, we're not bowing down to you. Wow. Look at this. And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. For your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, oh, that if it were evening. And at evening, oh, you shall say, oh, that it was morning, because of the fear which terrifies your heart, and because the sight which your eyes see. In verse 68, and the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. My. This happens to a nation that falls away from God. There's only two nations in the history of the world that was formed out of the Word of God, and that was Israel and these United States. When the pilgrims came, they made a covenant with God. And they put the cross down and they cried out to God for the land and made a covenant that this land would be blessed by God. And God has blessed this land. Can I get amen? So, what would cause a terrible punishment from God to allow a nation to be totally destroyed? Number one, God warned against sacrificing their children to Satan. That was the last straw that broke the camel's back when they started throwing their babies into the fire. God said, enough, enough. Look at Leviticus 18:21. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So, just to give us a quick remembrance of what Jonathan Cahn wrote a book about the return of the gods. In order for a nation to collapse, Baal has to come. The spirit of Baal comes and gets the people to forget God. So, in 1963, they took the Bible out of the schools and prayer out of the schools. Within 10 years, then the flower children movement came. Love, joy, peace, and all the hippie movement, and all the marijuana, and all this and all that. Yes, sexual revolution took place. 10 years after they removed the Bible, it happened in the 70s. So Baal had to come. He had to remove all that, right? Then the other god came, Astora, the female god or spirit. And she brought in the homosexuality, the transgenderism. Astora is known as the pole god. What is the pole god? In every strip joint around our nation, there's a pole and what she dances on. And she doesn't have any clothes on. She's known. They were doing that back then. And so she brought in the spirit of transgenderism and homosexuality. And so that took off. Then the third one came, which was Moloch. God had to destroy Israel because that broke the camel's back right there. That was the last straw. They were throwing babies into the fire. America has aborted 70 million plus. That's like throwing them into the fire. Help us, God. Look at Leviticus 21 through 5. Look at this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who gives any of his descendants to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Look at this. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their face from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Molech, and they do not what? Kill him. Then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I'll cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech. How many know that Jeremiah was the weeping prophet? He was known as the weeping prophet. Look at this in Jeremiah 7:28. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth, cut off from your hair and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the desolate heights. For the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Wow. Look at this. For the children of Judah have done evil in the sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of Son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. They were doing this in the name of God. And God said, enough is enough. He had to bring the Babylonians to totally annihilate them and took them into captivity. Look what Ezekiel wrote. Therefore, I also gave them up to statutes that were not good and judgments by which they cannot live. And I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual gifts, in that they caused all the firstborns to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, and that they might know that I am the Lord. Wow. Look at number two here. God said that a man shall never lay with another man, and a woman shall never lay with another woman. It's an abomination to God. How many know that? And yet, even in this administration, it's still acknowledged as it's okay. Did you know it's not okay with God? I don't care how you want to placate it. I don't care how you want to fudge it around. You can't change what God says, what's unholy. Look at this. In let's go back here. In Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is a what? What's an abomination? Something that's detestable, grotesque toward God. Nor shall you mate with any animal, nor defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It's perversion. That's called bestiality. Oh, help us, God. Help us, God. Look at Leviticus 20:13. If a man lies with a male, he lies with a woman. Both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. Wow. In the New Testament, look what Jude wrote. But I want you to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their abode, has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Look at this in verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and they speak evil of what? Dignitaries. But look what Paul, the apostle, wrote to the Corinthian church. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, as people living and having sex and they're not married. Look at this. Adulterers, married people, having flings. Look at this. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. People that just love to just get wild. No revilers. Revilers are people that will just want to start a fight anywhere. Extortioners will not. Look at this. Nor will extortioners inherit the kingdom of God. So all that you see there will not go to heaven. That won't repent. Wow. That's pretty tough, isn't it? But God wrote it. God wrote it for a reason. In Genesis, look at that. Verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Wow. So, Genesis 19, look at this. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, and he shut the door behind. Verse 7, look at that. And he said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only nothing to these men. They wanted to have sex with the angels that came down from heaven. That's how sick and perverted these people were. And only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. Look at verse 9. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard the man Lot, and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands, pulled Lot into the house with them, shut the door, and they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. The angels blinded them. Let me just say this. I'm going to say it the best way I know how. The angels came to save that family. What family? Lot's family, right? Jesus is coming for the church to get us out before he brings judgment. This is a picture of the rapture. The way God came to rescue Lot, God's going to rescue us. Can I get amen? Amen. If you're walking right before Him, you're loving Him, you're staying in that repentant heart with Him, God is going to remember you and pull you out of this world before judgment comes. Because judgment is coming. I hope you know that. It's coming. There's ridiculous sin in our nation. Ridiculous. All these gangbangers that they just scratched the surface with. You know how many people are still hit out here? Drug dealers, sex traffickers. And let me just say this. Even these politicians are corrupt with them. Can I get amen? Because they got money to pay for all that. Help us, God. Help us, God. Look at this. Do not practice or partake with the occult. Did you know that every movie now has witches, warlocks, spells? And they make it real simple. They try to disguise it through Disney. Wait a minute. That's a children's. No. I think there's a new release by Disney. I heard this one Christian ministry said, don't even look at that. It's trying to tell the world there's nothing wrong with transgenderism. Look at Deuteronomy 18. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. We talked about that. Or look at this. Or one who practices witchcraft, a soothsayer, or who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. Don't read your horoscopes. That's of the devil. Can I get amen? Don't be led by that nonsense. My goodness. Look at this. Or one who conjures up spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. You know what I'm blessed? Most of you know this stuff. But some people that are tuned in right now may not know this. They got a whole Disney repertoire of movies. I'm just going to let my kids watch these things. You see, the word occult is generally associated with secret knowledge and practices dealing with supernatural or psychic phenomena, often for the purpose of obtaining personal power. Some occult practices rely on demons or spirits to achieve their goals. Occultism is rapidly increasing throughout the world. Interest in the occult has been promoted by the New Age movement, the rise of neo-paganism, and even some heavy metal rock bands, rap music, you name it. Music, it means angel go, yeah. Sipping on that, what? Help us, God. Thank God we don't sip on that yak no more. Look at, could it be that our nation is soon to be judged and collapse? Listen, we truly need godly prophets to rise up in our nation, to call the people to repent, to go before God, to cry out. Not these giant churches where people hide out. They don't even know you. And yet, you know, secret friendly churches, I'm just going to come here because no one knows my sin. And I don't want nobody to know. And they hide out in these places. No. You need to go where someone's going to tell you truth. Yeah. Someone that ain't going to lie to you. Someone's going to show you what is happening in our world right now and not be afraid of it. Can I get amen? Don't let the numbers here fool you. Oh, that's right. Don't let the numbers here fool you. You know why? Who was the one that whittled down all? He had over 5,000 men to go battle with. What was his name? Trivia question. No. He ended up with only 200. No. Come on, Bible scholars. And they didn't even lift the sword. Those who lapped the water? Remember the ones that, the 200 men are the ones that lapped the water with their eyes up. God said. So who was their leader? I'll wait till you find it. You guys should know that one. Come on, you guys. Okay, it was Gideon. Gideon said, go and overtake them. And he goes, okay, man, I'm gonna come with 5,000 deep. God said, willed it down. He willed it down to only 200 from 5,000. What was that? Was it 300? Out of 5,000 plus. And he says, those are the men I want. Did you know that there's a remnant around the world? A small remnant around the world that won't bow down that ball. Can I get amen? This little church won't bow down. And there's other churches that I know that are holding up the bloodstained banner. But the seeker friendlies won't talk about this. They just want you to keep putting money in the basket. Help us, God. Look at this. Could it be that our nation is soon to be judged and collapsed? What did we show? What was the last thing that broke the camel's back with God, with Israel? Throwing the what? Look at this. Since 1973, when the Roe v. Wade bill was passed, America has sacrificed over 70 million of her babies on the altars of the abortion tables. Their blood is upon this nation. Their blood is crying out from the ground. How do I know that the blood cries out? Because when Cain slew Abel, God says, where's your brother? I hear his blood crying out from the ground. 70 million and counting. As I'm speaking right now, there's babies being aborted around the world, especially in this nation. Oh, Planned Parenthood, they don't close their doors on Sunday. It's probably when they get the most clients. I can be there with you. I'm not working. Help us, God. From that moment in time, America has never won a major war. We're always in war. We can't end a war since 73. Why? Because it's an unrighteous war. Because there's blood on our hands. Look at this. In 2015, this was the tipping point when America, when our president and his administration moved forward to overturn amended laws to redefine the traditional marriage. There are now 50 states with legal gay marriage and 50 states with the same-sex marriage. God help us. God help us. help us. Saints, if this nation doesn't get right with God, it don't look good. I just showed you God's blueprint. You don't agree with what I'm saying here? Take it up with God. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bible says God changes not. And if he dealt harshly with Israel, don't you think he's going to deal harshly here? See, Israel didn't have the full, complete Bible. We do. We got the Old and New Testament. We have no excuse. And look at this. And I close with this. IMBD records. If you were to go to that site, IMBD, and type in horror genre, you know how there's drama, there's action, there's comedy. Well, just go to the horror genre. And there's 2,733 titles from 1970 to 2025. And throughout our country, there is voodoo, witchcraft, santeria, fortune tellers, soothsayers, Muslim satanic killing rituals, and the list goes on. Which is being puffed out in our nation and disguised in movies. Help us, Jesus. How many believe we need help? How many believe that we need prayer? How many believe that we need to pray for our nation? Well, since I have you all here, we're going to pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just read what you do to nations that forsake you. Father, we're crying out for this nation. We're crying out, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would have mercy. Lord, I pray, Lord, men and women, that you have given them high positions across this land. Starts with our president and down, and it trickles down. And all the governments, and all those who are in position in every city across this land. Lord, would you give them a paradigm change? Would you show them that what is going on right now, what's being allowed, is an abomination to you? Oh God, bring our nation to its knees in repentance. I'd rather that we would all repent to spare the judgment. But God, I know, Lord, it's already written. It's already written. And thank God for us believers. The Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. And so God, take us home when it's time. Take us all home when it's time, oh God. And we'll rejoice. And Lord, one last prayer, God. I pray for the Cage family. I thank you that you took Pastor Rod and Sister Mary out of home. They were prophets that spoke into my life for the last 12 years. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would raise up another prophet to speak into our lives, God. And so, Lord, thank you for them. And Lord, I pray right now that those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you've never given your heart to God. Maybe you've done some stuff that weren't pleasing to God. Well, guess what? God will forgive you. God will cleanse you. God will wash you and make a brand new life out of you. And all you got to do is cry out to God. Ask God to forgive you because he's a loving God. His desire is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. And so I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would have an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.